Ah, yes. Welcome to today's transcontinental episode of Overreaction Monday, brought to you by Game Time, the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. Guess what? You can get $20 off your first purchase when you download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code Overreaction. I am Rich Eisen, sitting here in Germany. Chris Brockman is sitting in the Germany of Southern California.
What's up, that's Rich?
El Segundo. How are you? What's going on, brother?
Doing
what's
great, going on? Man. Doing great. Recovering from yesterday's games. How are you recovering from that awesome game?
Unbelievable, dude. It was just an unreal atmosphere in Frankfurt, Germany. And then to see the game of the year turn into somewhat of a defensive battle for a while, and then a defensive play of the year. You know, the moment that Trent McDuffie, who, by the way, was drafted by the Chiefs using some of the draft capital they got in the Tyreek Hill trade, stripping Tyreek Hill, wound up eventually in the hands of Brian Cook due to a lateral, and off to the races. And that was the margin of difference. And it was unbelievable, dude. Unreal. What a game it was.
That's awesome. Great for you guys to be a part of it. Great call, and can't wait. Thanks, for bro. Well, I mean, I guess I can wait for Patriots Colts, but
that's next. That's next, and then I'll come home. So the next Overreaction Monday we'll do back together in studio. But for the moment, I'm in Germany. I'm here. You're there. Hit it. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage. This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
All right, Christopher, you have at it.
All right, Rich, let's start with one of the teams that you saw yesterday in Germany. Hey, look, the Dolphins are cool. We like them. Mike McDaniel wears nice shoes and he's hip and everything about them is awesome. But let's be honest, they're not ready to play with the big boys.
I'm still going to call that an overreaction. I see the makings. I see the makings of a defense that leads the league in quarterback hits. I see a defense that leads the league in quarterback hits that now has Xavier Howard and Jalen Ramsey on the back end. There's that dude Van Ginkle's all over the lot. Chubb is all over the lot. Wilkins is all over the lot. Phillips is all over the lot. They've got serious players on defense. It's the offense, believe it or not, that when you take away Tua's first read, it causes a little bit of a beat to be had. Waddle got hurt in the game yesterday. I know I'm coming up with a circumstance here and a circumstance there. Just to cast them aside and say the Dolphins can't do it, won't do it, is in danger of maybe not even making the playoffs, let alone winning a playoff game, because they haven't been able to beat the big boys, as you say. Yes, they have not beaten a team with a winning record since the Buffalo Bills a couple of years ago. I'm going to go ahead and call this an overreaction because they haven't done it yet. Doesn't mean they're not going to do it or they're not equipped to do it.
I mean, they've beaten the three worst teams in the NFL. Congratulations.
I understand. And they've destroyed them, you know. So, look, like I said, you can only beat the teams in front of you. And the teams in front of them that have winning records, they haven't beaten. And they know that that's what the narrative is going to be. I'm just not going to sit here and say they can't or won't based
on. Do you still think they're going to win the AFC East?
I think the Jets, as of this conversation, you and I are talking before the Monday night game. If the Jets win this one, they're only a half a game behind the Dolphins in the win column.
Right.
And they would leapfrog over the Bills in the AFC East with, you know, that Black Friday game looming. The first of two times that they play Miami. I still think they're the team to beat in this division is what I'll say right now.
All right, let's move on to the other big game from Sunday, Cowboys, Eagles. Let's look at Dallas. Look, Dak's a great guy. He played great for 98% of the game, but the Cowboys are never going to get over the big game hump with Dak at quarterback.
Oh, that's come on.
Name a big game that they weren't supposed to win that Dak led them to victory. You can't do it because there isn't one.
I'm just never going to go here in this direction. I'm never going to sit here and say he never can. I can't do it. I won't do it. He played his ass off, man.
until he
played
didn't
his
at the
ass
end.
Off.
Like,
until he took
let's
that
get the
sack
playoff.
At the end.
Let's not take a sack. Like, what are we doing? Maybe throw the ball into the end zone so you don't have to worry about a review.
Well, dude, that was the CeeDee Lamb cut his route up before.
How about in the play of the game? The don't throw line. It to the fourth option. Like, what are
that's
we doing?
That's another one. No, I'm not saying he was mistake free. I'm not saying he was perfect. I'm just saying I'm never going to say Dak can't, because you see the skill set. You see the ability.
I see him always lose the big game. That's what I see.
I know what you're saying. I think the Dallas Cowboys win the second game with the Philadelphia Eagles and go on a nice little run here. If you take a look at their schedule over the next few weeks, they have some winnable football games. They're going to sweep the Giants. I don't know who the Giants are going to start against the Cowboys. That's going to be an absolute bloodbath. Mm-hmm. They've got the Carolina Panthers. And meanwhile, the Eagles go on a bye week and have to play the Chiefs and the 49ers before the Dallas Cowboys face them again after they take on Washington and Seattle in between. That Washington game is a Thanksgiving game, and then the game against Seattle is going to be a stout one. But you could see on this list here, the last few games, the Philadelphia, Buffalo, Miami, Detroit run is going to be the Cowboys gauntlet. And it's entirely possible that they have a better footing in the NFC East, if not maybe have the same record as the Eagles when they face each other again. So I'm not going to say anything other than this is an overreaction and ask you to move on.
Rich Eisen here. Let's talk about DoorDash, because we talk about it in our household all the time. Susie and I always go to DoorDash whenever we need some terrific food from our favorite restaurants, with timely, responsible, professional drivers delivering the food right to our house in a timely fashion. We use DoorDash. And now DoorDash is made even better with Dash Pass. Dash Pass is the one membership you need to get the most out of DoorDash in everyday life, because Dash Pass members get $0 delivery fees and up to 10% off eligible DoorDash orders, including groceries, drinks, personal care items, and more. Dash Pass makes delivery even more worth it, helping members save more than $35 per month on average. So put a little joy back into your schedule. We are in our house. We've signed up for Dash Pass. You should do so today and use code RICHEISEN and get 50% off up to a $10 value when you spend $12 or more after signing up for Dash Pass. Subject to change, terms apply. That's 50% off up to a $10 value when you spend $12 or more after signing up for Dash Pass with code RICHEISEN. Subject to change, terms apply. Sign up for more. Become a Dash Pass member today.
The football season is underway, and Believe podcasts are talking about it.
When he went home and went to sleep, Michael Parsons was terrorizing him.
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams too.
And to be only producing 15 points a game, that's something that is definitely disheartening.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
As a quarterback, I would expect him to be acting like that. Take the accountability. Put that on yourself. Don't put it on your teammates.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen.
What else you got?
Let's go to the team that beat them, the Philadelphia Eagles. The NFC is the Eagles' conference to lose.
I think that's true. I think so. They just can't just play a clean slate game, right? They can't just curb stomp somebody. They can't just come out and do it. But that brotherly shove play, man.
Unstoppable.
It is. And you know, Sirianni said it perfectly a couple of weeks ago. It's first and nine when they get the ball. It is. I mean, they haven't had it stopped on them in their own territory all season long yet. When they get it down to the 2-3 yard line, it's a wrap. I mean, they have zero red zone problems when they get close, as opposed to other teams who, you know, Dak couldn't, you know, quarterback sneak it. All these other teams, I proffer to say, everyone's going to have this in their back pocket next season. I don't think you're going to practice it up right now in the middle of a season. But the Eagles' defense concerns me a little bit. They bent a lot, and it looked like they were about to be broken until Brandon Graham busted through for some big sacks towards the end of the game. I'm concerned about their health on defense. But it's still their division, their conference to lose. Right now, they have 8 wins. Yep. They're going on a bye. I'm obviously concerned about Jalen Hurts' knee when he said he wasn't going to lie. This is a perfectly timed buy for him. That's all he would say about his knee.
It looked like he was limping a little bit on the sideline.
Right? Yeah. I mean, so don't you think this is their conference to lose? You're not just saying that just to bait me here.
No, I'm not just saying that. I do agree with that. I think it's not an overreaction. I think they're clearly the front runners in the NFC right now. And I would, I would be shocked if they're not the one seed, and I'd be shocked if they don't go to the Super Bowl, to be honest.
Hey, the Lions are coming off their bye this week. I think they're going to get Montgomery back. I think that they haven't really played a perfect game in their own right just yet.
Yeah.
The 49ers are coming off their bye. They got Chase Young now on their defense. You know, there's still miles to go here, but I would agree with you right now. This is the Eagles conference to lose.
Yeah, especially at the halfway point. Okay, Rich, we talked about it on the big show when you joined us from Germany. It's the number one talking point in New England. Belichick was asked about it today, if he's coaching for his job in Germany next week. Bill Belichick won't make it the season, though, as Patriots head coach.
That's a.
If you look at the schedule, I don't know where the wins are coming from. They might get blasted by Gardner Minshew and really company next week. I don't know, man. The clip going around of Bob and Jonathan Kraft talking, and Jonathan lip readers are saying, "Look, we're just not good enough," and that kind of falls on Bill. He picked the groceries.
That may be true, but do you really think that this long-standing successful relationship will be ended midseason? Do you really think they would do that? That they would just say it's too bad, like we can't even let Bill finish the season? Really? And I see the games that are on the schedule here. There are some games where I mean that game at Pittsburgh on a Thursday night, take the under right now.
Yeah,
game against Kansas City is going to be particularly ugly.
I mean, the game against the Giants, that was at Thanksgiving weekend. That might literally be for the number one pick or the second pick in the draft.
Look, I wouldn't be surprised if I don't know, man. I mean, if they have such a high pick, but they're going to just, they're just going to bounce Belichick and start over.
I would be shocked. It's a little bit of a hyperbole over, you know, hot take here.
I don't know. It does seem more and more.
Will you admit that it does seem more and more likely that this is it? This is the last season?
I don't. How would I know? I mean, I'll get a better look at it this coming week. I mean, lots more conversation. You hear a lot more whispers when there's a team that you're covering. But I don't know. I cannot imagine this. And I can't imagine what Belichick must be thinking. He's got to be totally stunned.
He's thinking, thank God I signed that extension before the year.
maybe that's what he's thinking. Unless he's thinking that he doesn't want to do this anymore. I doubt that so heavily. I think this is an overreaction.
Yeah, all kinds of Vrabel rumors, and maybe the Washington make wheel a trade or something. I don't know.
Well, that's what Florio said on our show last week.
Okay, Rich.
Seattle,
one of the games we thought would be a marquee game, at Baltimore, was anything but absolute boat race. And I think that's because Geno Smith was a one-year wonder.
Oh, come on. I don't think so. You think?
Even Pete Carroll was kind of like, I'm a little concerned.
I'm not going to sit here and say it was a one-year wonder. I don't know. Is Jared Goff, you know, less than, because that they destroyed him there too. You know what I mean? It just was another clunker. I think this is just the way the Ravens are going to be equal opportunity abusers. You know how I feel sometimes. I've just seen too many things happen in our world, in our business. He just was a couple weeks ago. He had some terrific games in a row. I mean, he might have just hit a bump in the road. I don't know. I'll just call this an overreaction. You know, I can't sit here and say this is it for Geno just because he's had a couple of bumps in the road right here. And that's what he's had. Let me just call this up.
I don't know. I thought that game would be at least be I thought the Ravens would win, but maybe competitive, a one score game, close late, something happens. I mean, they couldn't get anything going on the ground. And
he's throwing too many interceptions. That's for
absolutely.
Sure.
I mean, red zone, everywhere.
He had 326 against the Bengals defense. That's been rampaging against everyone else. He did throw two interceptions. He had a passer rating of 113 against the Cardinals, 219 yards,
the
two
Cardinals,
scores.
I mean, come on, you could have done that against the Cardinals.
The Browns have the. I mean, these are some tough defenses he's gone against, dude. I mean, let's be straight up about it. The Panthers, he lit up. He lit up the Lions. I mean, he lit them up.
No, it was week one.
So I know it was week two. It was week two. I don't know what else to say other than the fact that I think this is an overreaction. We should just move on.
All right, let's go move on. Halftime. Let's move on.
It's halftime. Let me tell you about our friends. At Game Time, the episode of Overreaction Monday is once again brought to you by our friends at Game Time. I love using this app. Everybody does with the Rich Eisen Show. We all have accounts. We all use it for tickets for the best sports, music, comedy, and theater events near all of us. And you could do the same for those near you because we all know how frustrating it is to buy tickets. We don't have that frustration because it's so easy to navigate the app. You can see exactly where your seats are going to be. That means no more showing up and finding a large column of concrete right in front of your view. You can also get that all in pricing so you know exactly how much it's going to cost. There are no hidden fees. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time, and there's a Game Time guarantee also. How about that? Means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. It's simple. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use the code OVERREACTION for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create that account. Redeem the code OVERREACTION, OVERREACTION with two R's, $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets. Lowest price guaranteed.
Half redneck, half posh. 100% fun. Trey Crowder and Corey Ryan Forrester try and learn fancy culture in putting on airs.
The host of the Medium Popcorn Podcast, Brandon Collins and Justin Brown.
Okay, so Paddington 2 had like 100% of Rotten Tomatoes
as
for
it should.
Years.
You guys ruined that?
Justin came in and like took it down like 2 points because of his rating. That's the time we started getting death threats.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. No, people worship that movie.
Putting on airs. The podcast is on YouTube and wherever you listen.
Christopher, the floor is yours again.
Second half, Rich. One of the games of Sunday took place in Atlanta yesterday. Minnesota and Vikings. Crazy, crazy finish. Josh Dobbs came in. Did you see the clip of him on the sideline with his offensive lineman working on the snap, getting the cadence down?
Yeah.
Incredible. Yeah. Incredible. Josh Dobbs is going to lead the Vikings to the playoffs.
That's an overreaction. I'll just say that right now. I'm not saying that he's going. He won't. But just to say that off of one start.
Guy looks amazing. Here's the deal.
Dude, I know.
He was all over the place. I know Geno Smith, comeback player of the year from the bench last year. Like, we can need to make up an award so we can honor this guy. He's been on, 11 different teams in the last few years, including the Browns twice. Literally joined the Cardinals the week of, started, played well in his time there. Didn't even take a snap. He didn't know anybody's name yesterday.
I know. And the coach was telling him in his ear, like, post is on the right, you know, curls on the left, you know, crossers in your slot. Like,
throw that's what Addison. He's saying. Just hit him.
You know, as the voices, a coach's voice gets cut off. My immediate reaction was overreaction. But can we call up the
let's look at the Vikings schedule? Come on,
Vikings schedule, because the Vikings right now are at 5-4.
Right.
And I'm assuming that's a playoff spot right now. For them,
they're in right now.
Right now, the Minnesota Vikings. Yeah, right now the Minnesota Vikings are your seventh seed.
Okay.
And then looking at their schedule, next up for them, got some winnable games
here.
Saints
are a different team on the road.
Yes, Denver.
Denver, Chicago, winnable.
By the way, that's a Sunday night that they did not flex out of. So that's going to stay put as a nationally televised game.
Get excited.
Chicago. I mean, Justin Jefferson's coming back.
Right.
All right. I'm going to flip here. I'll say, yeah.
I mean, are we 7-5 at the bye week?
Yeah, pretty much it, you know. So
I mean, look, at Cincinnati, obviously tough. At Green, you know, at Green Bay is tough. At Detroit's tough, you know. But I think it's gonna be right in the main. 9 wins might get in the NFC.
Yeah, I all right. I'm with you. I think he's talented. I think he's talented. And then let's see Justin Jefferson come back, and then let's go for it. So what else you got, Chris?
I got you to flip-flop. I know you're going to hate this one. The Bills are going to finish 8-9 and miss the playoffs. Whoa, what are we doing?
Come on, dude.
Look at the schedule, wow. Rich.
You just made Mike Hoskins put that graphic.
I know. I apologize to Mike before the show. When I walked in at 7:30, I was like, "You're going to hate me for one of these." Look at the Bills schedule and find me four more wins. Go ahead, pull up the Bills schedule, Rich. Find me four more wins.
All right, let me see. They're looking at it right now. All the way here from Germany. Well, Denver's a win. I think they beat the Jets at home.
Okay.
They might lose at Philadelphia, might lose at Kansas City. I think they can beat Dallas at home. They can win at the Chargers. They could beat New England. Come on. Give me a break. 8-9.
Josh Allen leads the NFL in interceptions. It seems he always has one or two of these terrible throws
per game.
He's also a little banged up. Where is Gabe Davis? Is he on a milk carton today? Wait, where is that dude?
They're going 3-5 the rest of the way.
I do.
That's what you're saying.
I do. They do not look like a playoff team. If you watch them play right now, that is not a team that you have confidence in heading into the second half of the year.
I agree that there's a lack of confidence. If I'm not mistaken, my prediction of overreaction Monday, what we would be overreacting to today, based on last week's, I said, as a matter of fact, that the Bills are toast. That was what I said was what would be the overreaction.
Well done, Rich.
Finally got one right. And they're not toast. They are not toast. They still have a great quarterback. Their defense, again, is really toast.
Yeah.
Banged up. That was the case. They you could say if you're right, you can point to the London loss where they lost Matt Milano and Daquan Jones. Mm-hmm. And that was I believe 1 week after losing Trey White. So that's the 2 week stretch that would cost them the season based on the fact that their defense couldn't stop others. But they, you know, I know Burrow, you know, did his thing because he's on fire right now. That was a winnable game for the Bills. They just are not crisp enough. They are not playing perfect football in a way that they need to. I'm not saying they're going 8-9. This is an overreaction, and I predicted it last week. Booyah.
I don't know, Rich. McDermott hot seat? I'm just saying.
Oh, geez. Come on.
All right, let's go to the other side of that game last night. Cincinnati, they look great. They are on fire. Healthy Joe Burrow is the best quarterback in the NFL.
Oh, you could say that. I absolutely think so right now. Healthy Joe Burrow is, yeah. I mean, who's playing better than him right now? Let's think about it.
I don't know.
But honestly,
CJ Stroud.
CJ Stroud. CJ Stroud just didn't have he didn't have a terrific game at Carolina. He had a superb game, a game for the ages. So he is playing terrific football. I think my buddy who I just called the game with here in Germany, Dan Orlovsky, on the way home was looking at the film, and he said that CJ Stroud put himself in the MVP conversation based on that performance. Now that is worthy of this podcast.
Too hot for this podcast.
Okay. So, but who is playing as red hot right now where he's lighting people up and he's taking hits, but still making throws. He takes a lick in, he keeps on ticking. He has three terrific receivers at his disposal, great running game, and great defense that keeps putting him back out on the field. I don't think this is an overreaction right now. Lamar is playing very, very well. We have to talk about that. He is playing some terrific quarterback as well, but he's not lighting it up in the same way. They have different offense anyway.
Right.
Jalen
Hurts is
Mahomes. You got to talk about it. Mahomes
has had both those guys.
You know, I think Burrow is playing the best quarterback in the NFL right now. Yeah, I would agree with that. What else?
All right, Rich, you mentioned, I mentioned CJ Stroud. You mentioned what he did in Carolina. How about this one? Bryce Young going number one over Stroud is going to go down like Greg Oden and Kevin Durant. The Panthers are going to regret that pick for the rest of their careers.
Okay. All right. That's an overreaction. Seriously. Come on, man. Already. It's eight games.
I almost did Bowie and Jordan, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to do games. Odin and Durant.
It's eight games. You know,
CJ Stroud, Hall of Fame.
My Ohio State buddies are texting me saying, CJ Stroud, see, this is what happens when the other team doesn't have his plays.
That's good. I wish I had thought that one.
Oh, boy. And I'm like, you know what? Congratulations on having an Ohio State quarterback that's performing above expectation rather than
he makes up for all the other crappy Ohio State quarterbacks in the NFL.
Well, for eight games in, let's see what he can do. But he is playing particularly well. He's playing terrifically. He's playing better than particularly well. And without a doubt is offensive rookie of the year. And without question, turned out to be the most NFL pro ready quarterback in the draft. And obviously, as it is right now, looks to be a complete mistake. But come on, man. Look, Tua, it took 3 years until he finally found his footing and is playing better and is considered a better NFL quarterback right now with a better chance to win his division and make a playoff appearance and win a playoff game this year than Justin Herbert. And if you'd said that 2 years ago, you'd be like, get out of here. He's finished. And Herbert is, you know, headed to the Hall of Fame. Let's just pump the brakes a little bit here and just say Odin and Durant, it made me laugh. And that's a good overreaction. Well done, Chris.
All right, Rich.
You caught me off guard.
I gotcha. All right, last one. You called it during the show earlier, and I kind of laughed because I was doing it here. Caleb Williams should sit out the rest of the season
and
prep for the NFL draft.
That right there is 100% spot on. I know that would cause a furor, and I know that would cause much consternation, but three losses, he's already got a Heisman in the case. He's going to be voting on the Heisman for the rest of his life. He's got nothing but road in front of him. He will absolutely still be the first overall pick in this draft. I'm convinced of it. I think all the crap and garbage that's been spewed in his direction because he hopped up in the stands and was crying on his mother's shoulder is garbage, too. I think he is 100% a face of a franchise in the NFL, 100% a guy with the skill set of Mahomes, and 100% should make sure he is 100% fully healthy for the combine. I know this sounds like a hot take, and that here it is with a bunch of games left, including a game against UCLA. Come on, man. I saw the way UCLA blew up Shedeur Sanders with my own two eyes. What are you going to do? Like, go out there and say, okay, I won one for the Trojans before going out the door? No way. They're out of the top 25 right now.
Yeah.
First time Lincoln Riley's been out of the top 25 since taking – and I know it sounds like he's quitting on his teammates. But
think about the pre-draft process, all the questions he's going to have to answer from all these evaluators and scouts.
Whatever.
Well, why'd you quit on your team?
Great.
Come on.
Then pass on him. Pass on him. Go ahead.
Exactly. Be the team that passes on Caleb Williams.
Go ahead. Pass on him.
I dare you.
Remember McCaffrey skipped his bowl game?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Everyone was like, what does that mean? There's an eye and there's two eyes in Christian, huh?
Stupid.
Look at him now. Get out. Is anybody talking about that right now? They are not.
Nope.
You know what they're talking about? Somebody like Jalen Smith. That's what they're talking about. Like, you can't run that risk, man. You cannot run the risk. So I'm with you. I bet you thought I would say this is an overreaction, right?
Am I surprising you? I kind of thought you might lean overreaction there. But look, I'm glad we're on the same page here because it's exactly what – it's kind of what we talked about a few years ago. Remember Leonard Fournette?
David.
The guy should have never played his junior year. But
it is a total, complete, different ball of wax in college football now. Name, image, and likeness. You're setting yourself up for your next career. If you can do it and show that you're a championship, you're on a championship team and you have reason to play for a playing season, for a conference championship, a national championship, for even Heisman Trophy. I know this sounds terrible to say, but if you are in the rarefied air of Caleb Williams, honestly, I would say right now, I'm done playing. thank you. And, you know, I understand that sounds terrible, that you can't go out saying that you just want to cuddle with your dog and watch your shows, which, by the way, sounds just like my children.
Same. I would love to do that.
You know, but I'm agreeing with you right here. And that's a very O. Henry-like twist at the end of this storyline called the Overreaction Monday podcast. It's now time to predict what we're going to overreact to next week. Again, I got this right. As a matter of fact, one of your overreaction subjects for me moments ago was my prediction that you would say that the Bills are toast based off a loss to Cincinnati. And you did that, and I pushed back on it. What's your prediction about what we're going to overreact to
all
next
week? All right, here's mine. This team did not play this week. They were on a bye, and while they did make
I'm going that direction, too. What do you got?
Okay, and while they did make one of the most high-profile moves at the trade deadline, I'm going to say next week we are going to say the 49ers are going to miss the playoffs.
Okay. And so you're saying what this means. Hold on a minute. This means Jacksonville beats them this week, in Jacksonville.
Correct.
And even with them falling to 5-4 and having a four-game losing streak, four games, going from 5-0, losing four in a row, you still believe the 49ers making the playoffs is feasible, and thus what you're saying is an overreaction. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. I do think Jacksonville beats them, but when you look at the way Seattle has performed, they're kind of fraudulent, and you look at whoever comes out, there's not going to be two teams from the NFC South. So I still think San Francisco can make the playoffs there.
Okay. All right. Even though, they got to go to Philadelphia, two games against Seattle. Baltimore's on their schedule. I'm going to go in the opposite direction. Same game. I say the 49ers win this thing.
Oh.
In Jacksonville. And I say the overreaction will be the Jaguars being placed in the same spot as the Dolphins in the category of, but who have they really beaten? Because you're going to see they swept Indianapolis. Okay.
Yep.
They even lost to Houston. Right.
Right.
They beat Atlanta under 500. The Bills win isn't as impressive anymore, right, with the way that the Bills are playing. You've got New Orleans. And then, the win over Pittsburgh, which is no easy place to play, right? And New Orleans is not an easy place to play, certainly on a short week like they did. And Pittsburgh is very tough to win there, certainly with your quarterback a little bit nicked up. I still think this is impressive. I think they might, lose to San Francisco. And people will start going, well, but really, who have they beaten? They lost to Kansas City. They lost to Houston. And everyone else isn't really lighting up many scoreboards, let alone standings. So that's my prediction of what we're going to overreact
to. I like that one.
All right, brother. I'm now going to get a late dinner here in Germany.
All right.
And you go on with the rest of your day.
Enjoy Monday Night Football. You're not watching, right? It's 2 a.m.
2:15 a.m. kick. 2:15 a.m. kick here in Germany between the Jets and the Chargers. But I'll be on our show Tuesday to react to it for sure.
Absolutely.
Also on Tuesday is the latest episode of What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. Marshall Faulk, 2:08, is going to be their Hall of Fame guest this week to react to everything. Good job, Chris.
You be well.
That'll wrap it up for this edition of Overreaction. Thank you. Overreaction Monday, the podcast. I will be back in the States for next week's pod in person. But for Chris Brockman, I am saying auf Wiedersehen to the Overreaction Monday pod for this week.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form.
We have Michael Azarad, who was Nirvana's very first biographer. I'm not sure how many people realize how many of the best songs on In Utero were written way beforehand.
To be fair to Kurt, he was also a new father. There was a lot of stuff distracting him. It wasn't just drugs, although that was certainly a major factor.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.